Turn to John chapter 1. Putting a password in for 20 years, and it just went. Talk about panic. I got it. Hard to believe that we have been in the Gospel of John for 3 months already. And it's almost harder to believe that we've only covered 12 verses. But, you know, sometimes you just got to sit in the tub of God and soak a little bit. And we're going to give you something today that some might consider deep, but really it's basic. You'll get a semester's worth of Bible today in our Bible Institute. But I think it'll be a blessing. You might want to go back and get it. To listen to it again, because there's a lot of verses we're not going to turn to. Time doesn't afford us that, but let's go and come to the Lord and pray together one more time. Father, thank you that we could sing your praises in an upside-down world, a world that's frantic and anxious and fearful today, drawing at straws, trying to figure things out. And Lord, we got it all. When we get death figured out, we got it figured out, Lord. Thank you that you are not the problem, you are the solution. And I pray you'd bless your word to our hearts, Lord. If there's those that don't understand what we're talking about today or maybe have forgotten, Lord, I pray that you'd show them this clear, like only the Holy Spirit can. And Lord, that they might get assurance and victory in their Christian life. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. We studied as many as received him. And how free will perfectly reconciles with election if you stick with the Bible. I think the title of that sermon was, I've Chosen Election. And then we looked at adoption and the judicial transaction . Yeah, have them guys come in, could you please? I can't. And if they're going to stand and talk, tell them not to stand in the window. Sorry. They coming? We can wait. Steve Ackley used to say, dollar waiting on a donut. You know, that means the guy making all the money is up there doing something and he's waiting for someone to bring a screw, you know. Now, she was busy, but... What's that? They're on duty. Okay, thank you. Adoption, the judicial transaction that took place and placed us in the family of God that really secures our eternal life. And then last week we talked about holiness, sort of the abandoned subject that you don't hear a lot of anymore, which plays a huge part in our glorifying our Father now that we're in the family, in our usability now that we're in the family, and in our blessings from the Father while on earth. So today I want to bring you a doctrine which probably many of you are familiar with, and I want to sort of tie these things together and show you how to rightly divide and really apply and how these things work from God's perspective in our Christian life, as many as received him, adoption, and then holiness. And to do that, you need to understand the difference between your eternal standing and your temporal state. That's what we're going to talk about. Your eternal standing in Christ versus your temporal state. Some call it our position versus our practice. Understanding this difference is crucial to victory in the Christian life. To win the battle with the flesh, I hope you realize that is the battlegrounds, you must understand the battle. And understanding standing versus state is crucial to understanding the assurance of my salvation. It's the assurance and security of knowing that you are a saved child of God positionally, in spite of what your flesh tells you that's going on realistically in your everyday life. Understanding standing versus state will allow you the love of Christ to constrain you in this Christian life to do right. It'll take you way further than the fear of going to hell. If you don't get this down, if you don't get this, what is my position, what is my eternal position versus my temporary state, here's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be constantly doubting your salvation. You're going to think you lost your salvation, or you're always going to be in fear of losing your salvation. And so what that's going to result in is you'll never get past square one. You're going to get saved over and over and over and over again. Or you're going to say, what's the use? I'm a failure. I used to be saved, but my behavior knocked me out of the family. Now, if you're like me, limited mental capacity, you're going to say, now, which one is standing and which one is state? I'm hoping you can know the difference by the time you're done, but when you walk away, you say, but was standing the eternal one? Here's how you remember it. You're standing in one place. You have one standing, but there's a lot of states. 50, right? 50 states. 50 nifty United States and the 13 American. That's my homeschool days. Remember the sleeping bag up here when Caleb was up in Christ? Your standing in Christ is your spiritual position before God legally as an adopted child. That's your standing. Your state is your conduct. And God gives a perfect picture right in our homes. Who do I want to pick on? Joey Lodis, I'll pick on you. Joey Lodis has a birth certificate. He is the son of Jason and Amy Lodis. There is a record. No matter what he does, he is a child of Jason Lodis. That's his standing. Now, his state depends on how Joey did today or yesterday. That could be all over the map, but the standing is fixed. Your standing is fixed because it's based on something that Roy talked about in the football today that took place. The state of your flesh is variable based on what your body's doing, your mind's doing, your imaginations are doing, your heart's doing, your hands are doing. Your state is variable. It depends on what you yield these members to, spirit or flesh, what you sow to, spirit or flesh, what you become a servant to, spirit or flesh. That's your states. There's a whole bunch of them. Your standing in Christ is sinless perfection. You're looking at sinless perfection standing before you. You're laughing because you're thinking about my state. Your state in Christ, listen, your state, is there a lot of states or one state? A lot. You're getting it. Your state in Christ can be sinless or sinful. Your standing in Christ is based solely on your new nature, the new man within. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The union between you being in him and him being in you. The state of your temple is based on what you do with the old nature, this flesh. Your Adamic, no good nature, the part that haunts you and I. Your standing in Christ is a son, 1 John 1:2. An heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, Romans 8:17. Literally part of Christ's flesh and bones, Ephesians 5:30. Go to 1 John 3:9. I'll keep you moving a little bit here. All three Johns, Jude, Revelation, 1 John 3:9. Your standing in Christ, you cannot sin. Verse 9, Whosoever is born of God, are you born of God? If you're born again, you are, doth not commit sin. Well, that means in the original that means you continue. It's not what it says. It says doth not commit sin. Let me ask you a question. Did you sin in the last 24 hours? Probably the last 24 minutes. You probably all judging me when I was waiting for those guys to come in out of the lobby. I mean, you're doomed already. But here it says you cannot sin. In your state, in the flesh, you can be a slave to sin. But in your standing, you can't sin. In your standing in Christ, you will not be punished eternally for your sins. And I'm going to rattle some stuff off. You're going to have to get it if you want it later. They're all gone, Colossians 2. They're covered by the blood, Romans 4. God doesn't remember them, Hebrews 10. They are forgiven, Romans 4. They are washed, 1 Corinthians 6. And that makes you and I that are saved as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, state, they should be white as snow, standing. Now, your state is another story. There's a lot of them. Through chastisement, you can experience the destruction of the flesh, 1 Corinthians 5, sickness, 1 Corinthians 11, destruction of the body, 1 Corinthians 3, and death, 1 Corinthians 11, and ultimately lose rewards at the Christian's future judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, where we are not judged for our sin eternally, but what we did with what Christ gave us since then. He said, you better make sure you don't lose your reward. Now, here's what we're going to give you today. There are some ION doctrines in the Bible that are the basis for our standing. All these doctrines end in ION. And we're not going to cover all of them. Don't get scared. Justification, imputation, redemption, spiritual circumcision, positional sanctification, and propitiation. Now, you go ask your Lutheran friend to explain those. In fact, ask your Baptist friend to explain them. Probably. But it's the foundation of what we believe. And to be honest, most, and I'll say believers, don't have the foggiest idea of justification, imputation, redemption, spiritual circumcision, positional sanctification, and propitiation. And most of them walk around thinking, if I'm good enough today, I might be going to heaven. And if I'm not good enough tomorrow, I'm probably not going to heaven. And it's nowhere near the truth. It's not based on Bible. Number one, justification. Justification. This is the basis for my standing. How can I be declared sinless? Here's how we remember justification, generally speaking, just as though you've never sinned. It's a legal term. That's why it's important. Justice. Just. Justified. Justification, get this, is God declaring a sinner righteous. Now, I don't have to give you the previous lesson of the spiritual circumcision, because you already saw the verse. I think Caleb read it. He put off the body of sins. So I'm justified because my body of sin has been put off. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet shall they be white as snow. I will be merciful to their unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. How can it be? Because my sins were put off of me when I got into Jesus Christ, which makes sense. Remember Caleb up here in the bag? Wouldn't make much sense if he had sin on him in Jesus Christ. Why, he's seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. It would make no sense for him to have sin on him and to be seated in heavenly places. You can't have sin in heaven. Positionally, now go to 1 Peter 2. I always love this verse. 1 Peter chapter 2. They just didn't get put off of me and kind of fizzle into thin air. Justification means they must be paid for. You know, we sing the song, Jesus signed my pardon, this I truly know, took my place on Calvary, and now I onward go. But really, it's not a pardon. It's a payment. You remember that one, don't you? It's a payment. It's not like, well, just let this criminal go because I got the power to let him go. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Boy, it'd be nice if we could revive. What sins are you talking about? You know, you get a little group together. That was, man, I was singing that all morning because that's really the meat of my message. Look at verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now, here's what happened. My sin didn't just fizzle. My sin went on to Jesus Christ. And here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. When he died, when he gave up that ghost, he said he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And it said that he preached to the spirits in prison, but it also, you heard this Wednesday night from Nathan, he says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Remember your picture in the center of the earth at the time of Jesus, you had paradise and you had hell. Some call this Abraham's bosom. Luke chapter 16. Abraham, because no man could enter into heaven prior to him being covered with the blood. So Abraham is in a place they call Abraham's bosom, paradise, and he looks over, there's a man in hell. It was the rich man. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in this water, for I'm tormented in this flame. Sorry, can't get over there. Go to Hebrews 9. What happened to my sins legally? Jesus went and preached to those spirits. Then it says he won't leave my soul in hell. Where are my sins? Not on him, because I don't think he could go to heaven if they were still on him. 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear, there's that 1 Peter 2, the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Unto salvation. Where are my sins? I think they're in hell where I belong. I think eternally speaking, he went down there, he deposited my sins, he paid the price for sin. In my standing, I'm complete because my sins are put off in a spiritual operation. Listen to this, Caleb sleeping bag. For ye are dead and your life is hid. Hallelujah. With Christ in God. In my spiritual, judicial, justified standing, he can't see my sin. And some of these firstborns are going to get together and sing, what sins are you talking about? Not today, but that'd be good if we could. What sins are you talking about? How could you love me? What? In our standing, that is. My present state, on the other hand, there's lots of them. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In my state, there's lots of them. See that you sin not. Justification, that's an I-O-N, declared just by a spiritual circumcision, putting off of the body. Now let's give you another I-O-N, imputation. Almost sounds like a skin disorder or something, doesn't it? And there's a twofold imputation. Let me give you what it means. To charge, to attribute, to set to the account of, to put on. If Jerry called me last night in the middle of the night and said, "Preach, I've been arrested," I would say, "What are the charges?" See, they open that book and they book them. They put next to your name, they put charges. Before I am saved, I am declared a condemned sinner. He that believeth not on him is condemned already. If you're here and you're not saved, you may be living and eating and laying in the sun and getting a tan and all that stuff, but you are under the condemnation of God. Why? Because you have not believed on the name of the Son of God. And it's because the sin is on me. And it's in me. It's charged to me. Pre-salvation, it's charged to me. It's attributed to me. It's stuck to me like alloy in a metal. It's put on me. But at the conversion, when I got saved May 17th, 1986, and I got in Jesus, watch. Now go to Romans chapter 4. This is really good. Romans chapter 4. Standing versus state. Which is it? The state's a lot of them. I could be all over the map. Standing, there's only one. Paul is speaking of David's words of Psalm 32 when he committed adultery and murdered the woman's husband that he committed adultery with. Pretty rough. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Look at verse 8. Blessed is the man, watch it, remember, it's charged, it's attributed, it's put on. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, you know what David did. There was no sacrifice in the law for that. The adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death, and the murderer take no thought for the life of the murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. And so David cries out in the Psalms and says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And God has given us a picture of the physical sin that David did. And here's what happened. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. That's an Old Testament. When you hear the sure mercies of David, there is no mercy on those two sins. But David got it. So Paul is giving us a picture of this. And look at verse 8 again. We're talking about imputation. You're going to be so smart today. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In my standing in Christ, my sin is no longer on me. It is not charged to me. It is not attributed to me. That's imputation part one. Imputation part two, you know where it is, though? It's on him. Part one is it's not charged, it's not stuck, it's not attributed, but it gets gooder. God judicially in your redemption did not charge the sin to you. Look at verse 6 of Romans 4. But that's not all he did. He didn't just take it away. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. Oh, you got these sins, but now you got in Christ, so God is not going to impute them to you. But that's not all. He's also going to impute to you his righteousness. Now watch. Here's Joe. You know what those black spots are, don't you? That's sin. He's not going to charge me with that, but that's not all. And that's Jesus. You believe on my son, I'll tell you what I'll do. All that, I won't charge it to you. That's called imputation. The Lord will not impute sin. But that's not all. That That's imputed righteousness. Not only is my sin not charged to me, His righteousness is now charged to me. And when He looked, how can I be saved and stay saved with what's gone in my mind for the last 24 hours? He doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. But where did my sins go? He sees me. Woo! He became sin who knew no sin. That's why He said, "Why have you forsaken me?" He had to forsake Him. He became sin who knew no sin. That's imputation, not charge. That we might be made, not righteous, the righteousness of God in Him. That's imputed righteousness. Whew. And if that doesn't constrain you to love Him and glorify Him and give to Him and go for Him and constrain you from sinning, you're either sorry or lost. Listen, love will always take you further than fear. I think about Pastor Barkowski. He's not here today, so I could tease him a little bit. We started out this ministry, Brother Jay and I. There's enough Christians that are so suspicious and all that's going on in the televangelist world. You know what? We can't sign a check if we wanted to. It would be no good if we endorsed an old Paz check. We don't want nothing to do with the finances. Charlie, you take care of it. Really? You trust one guy? Uh-huh. Now, how many think Charlie Barkowski could schmooze you if he wanted to? What would keep Charlie Barkowski from tapping the till more? Fear of being caught or love for Jesus? Let me tell you what would keep a man straight. Fear of getting caught or love for his wife? See? Love will, you believe once saved, always saved. Absolutely, and that's what constrains me, that He's not kicking me out of the family. Thank God. It's these I-O-N doctrines that constrain me to love Him more, to know Him more, to do more, to have hope that I didn't mess up and lose it again today. My security is not based on me. It's based on Him. Okay, this is good. Colossians 2, Ephesians 4. I'll give you the spirit of the New Testament epistles now. Colossians 2, Ephesians 4. We're almost done, if you can believe that. Colossians 2, Ephesians 4. And this is where the reconciliation comes in between faith and works, between salvation and service, between eternal sanctification and temporal sanctification. Colossians chapter 2, verse in Ephesians. Chapter 4. Okay, now watch this. Watch the contradiction, apparently. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom ye also are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, whereso also ye are risen with Him through the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Done. I've been spiritually circumcised, and I've put off. Now watch Ephesians 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is... Wait a minute, I thought I already put him off. I did positionally, but I don't always practically. I did put the old man off in my standing, but it's not always my state. So Ephesians 4 says, put it off. Colossians 2 says, it's put off. Ephesians 4 said, put it off. Colossians 3 says, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. How could I go to heaven with that? That's the spiritual standing. This is we're talking about state. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off. There is the conclusion, the spirit of the New Testament epistles. Lie not one to another, put off lying, seeing that you have, past tense, put off the old man. Act like you are. Standing says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. State says, I die daily. Standing says, I was baptized spiritually into him at his death, Romans 6. State says, get in the water and show this world what you believe happened to you at salvation. Standing concerning adoption says, ye have, past tense, received the spirit of adoption. We did a whole message on that. State says, I'm waiting for the adoption. I thought I was already adopted, to wit, the redemption of the body. Part of me's already seated in heavenly places, standing. Part of me is waiting, state. In my standing, I'm already up there. In my state, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger, I'm a foreigner in this present evil world. You're starting to understand why you are eternally secure. Oh, you people just believe you can go off and do anything. No, we don't. But if you get this mixed up, state would have you say, you've sinned again, your past feeling, this is it, the last straw has broken the camel's back, you're out of the family and going to hell. Meet them all the time. Used to work in that inner city you saved? Used to be. That's the state. That's what your state would have you believe. Standing says, what sins are you talking about? You're as white as snow. Aren't you glad your standing in Jesus Christ is not based on your state of affairs in the body? My position in Christ is sinless, dead, buried, and that's not all, risen. My state is another story. And so the New Testament basically, the admonition in the epistles, and that's why we talked about holiness last week, and I thought to tie this thing together with this, and behavior does matter for the temple of God. And what you'll get, you'll either get one side that said you have to do, and I could name 15 denominations right now, well, you just, and they don't know nothing, they're not assured of anything. And then you got the other side that says, oh, your behavior doesn't matter. You're in Christ. You're saved. You're seated in heavenly place. Don't worry about that. See the reconciliation. See the balance of the Bible. So here's the spirit of the New Testament, epistles. Why on earth, pun intended, are you in that worldly, carnal, fleshly, temporal state when your standing is so heavenly and perfect and sinless? That's what it's about. It's about matching up, and that's what growth is all about that Roy talked about. That's what Christian discipleship is all about. It's matching up the state with the standing. You're not a sinner. You're a son. Why are you behaving like a sinner? You're not in bondage to religion. That was a big one in the New Testament. Why? Why? You're free from that. He nailed it to the cross. Touch not, taste not, handle not, or God's not going to accept you. And that's how we reconcile New Testament faith and works. We love and we worship and we serve and we sacrifice and we give and we go and we constrain ourselves from sin as best we can with His help in this world, not to be saved, but because we are saved. Justification, redemption, circumcision, imputation, propitiation. Now take that to your religious friends and teach them it all. Let's stand. We're going to turn to number 397.